Voice of Bolito, Radio Life and Style, 88.0 FM.
All right, so tomorrow the 14th is World Diabetes Day, and with that in mind, we have two very, very, very special guests with us today. Professor, welcome to you. Professor Johan van Heerden, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. And Dr. Neil Isaacs, Salt Rock Medical Center for Diabetes, welcome to you.
Thanks. Nice to see you, Dave.
No, it's great. I've really been looking forward to this because a lot of people are completely in the dark about diabetes. Do I know a lot? A reasonable amount.
Yeah, I mean, half of diabetics don't really know they have diabetes, yes. Which is a good point. So it's Diabetes Day. It's good to screen people, and that's what we're here for, to introduce for tomorrow.
All right. So why World Diabetes Day? When did it start, and why is it on the 14th?
Well, it's really just to gain awareness about diabetes, and I don't think there's any specific reason why it's on tomorrow. But
well, I can add to that. The interesting thing, the discoverer of insulin, Banting, actually had his birthday on the 14th of November. So that is why.
There's the tie-in.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, is diabetes something you would call a common condition?
Very common. Very common. You know, 1 in 9 people have diabetes. The prevalence in Durban area and Indians is about 16%, and about 5% with Europeans and black people. So it's very common. Yeah.
All right. Now, these figures are huge. An estimate 4.3 million adults, is that right, have diabetes?
Yeah, just the numbers. So many, you just can't get your head around it.
It's enormous.
Yeah.
All right, now, there are two different types of diabetes. Help me if there's more than two. I know there's diabetes 1 and 2. Can we explain, please, the different types of diabetes?
Well, the type 1 diabetes is really, you just don't have any insulin at all. And it occurs usually can occur at any age, but it really upsets a family life when you're diagnosed when you're a small child. And the other, the type 2 diabetes, is just where your insulin doesn't work as well. You become insulin resistant. And it's more associated with your lifestyle and your genetics and a wider waistline.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Mine's not too bad. Yeah, too much pasta this week.
Yeah.
I think we'll look at the signs and symptoms of the condition if we can. And somebody listening is going, oh, hang on a sec. I've got that symptom, or hopefully not. So you say there are 5 symptoms of diabetes. Should we have a look at them?
Yeah. Well, a good way to remember them actually is to look at, you know, each finger of the hand. So typically one tends to be very thirsty. And as a result of that, you tend to want to urinate often.
Mm.
You experience fatigue, sometimes excessive hunger. And there are weight fluctuations depending on whether it's a type 1 coming to the fore or a type 2. You tend to lose weight with a type 1, unexplained. And for a type 2, you tend to get weight gain.
Wow. Now we're told to drink sort of 6 to 8 glasses of water every day, right? And that's going to make you urinate as well, isn't it? Do you see where I'm coming from? So how would you know the difference, you know, that you're, you know, going to the toilet more than often?
Well, when you've got poor control and your sugar's high, you usually absorb all your glucose out in your urine. And when you've got too much glucose in your bloodstream, you tend to wee the glucose out and it takes fluid with you. So you become thirsty, you wee more, you lose weight because you can't use your glucose, and sometimes you break down your fat and your muscle. So if you've got poor control, you start to lose weight.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Now, to manage diabetes, you both tell me there's 4 cornerstones of successful diabetes management. Can we have a look at those 4, please?
Yeah, I can address those.
Yeah.
So the first, of course, is if you have medication, you need to take your medication. And I think it's quite important to mention that both type 1 and type 2 diabetics require medication. Type 1, typically in the form of insulin injections. And type 2, there's a whole range which Dr. Isaacs can perhaps expand on. But type 2 diabetics can also be in need of medication. So take your medication if required.
Do you administer the medication yourself?
Yes. Well, the I mean, small children can manage to give their insulin injections and their insulin pumps now. But type 2 diabetics, if you've got very poor control, they would also need insulin. But generally, they take tablets to start with. Yeah.
Yeah, but the type 1 typically is an insulin pen, and you actually inject the insulin through the needle, very microfine, small needle, into the subacute abdominal tissue or fat tissue. It could be on your thigh, or mostly around your stomach.
All right. Now, healthy diet, doesn't it come? I mean, I knew that. It comes into play. Yes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, just it's not really a diabetic diet. You really just need a healthy, normal diet with foods that don't make your sugar go up and down quickly. We call it a GI index. So things that might surprise you, like Weet-Bix, might make your sugar go up and down very quickly. So you want a cereal that doesn't do that. Yeah.
Is there, if you follow a vegan diet, any difference in that to a normal sort of healthy diet? I know a vegan diet is healthy as well, but do you hear where I'm coming from?
Yeah, so I mean, most of the vegetables won't make your sugar go up and down quickly. So they have a lot of vegetables, vegans, and you just have to watch your carbs, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now physical exercise and activity, it's a massive plus, isn't it?
That's a big thing.
Absolutely, and that's really my area, being in the discipline of biokinetics, exercise and leisure at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, and coming from a biokinetics background myself. Physical activity, of course, utilizes glucose, which is in your bloodstream. It's just a question of your cells opening up to absorb that particular glucose concentration. So in a type 2 diabetic, exercise improves the insulin sensitivity, which then opens the cells and takes in the glucose. And in a type 1, the insulin injection sensitizes the insulin receptors to open and take it in. So you have to burn the energy that is accumulated in your bloodstream, and you do that by exercise. Of course, there are other benefits as well, but the glucose control through exercise is a primary cornerstone in the management thereof.
All right, now the acronym TEAL, who came up with this? It's part of the awareness campaign. Take your medication, eat healthy food, exercise every day, and lose weight if you need to. Correct. It's easier said than done sometimes, isn't it? Huh?
You know? Yeah, I mean, the exercise helps.
Yeah.
Everyone should do 150 minutes a week of exercise at a rate where you can talk, but you can't sing. And, of course, that helps keep your weight down and improves your cardiovascular risk, because diabetics are twice as many heart attacks and cardiovascular problems, and the exercise makes a big difference.
All right, now you've got a team that comes into play, health professionals, that is, who are typically involved in managing diabetes. Tell us about them. There's four of them, isn't there?
Yes, I mean, you get the dietitians, of course, play a big role.
Yep.
And we have podiatrists who look after people's feet and screen people's feet, because the nerves in your feet can go numb.
Wow.
You get ulcers on your feet, and can result in amputations and ulcers that don't take a long time to heal. And, of course, the biokineticists and the doctors,
Yeah, I think in addition to that, what's come to the fore as well is the mental health of individuals. So psychologists are also typically available and important, and of course the endocrinologists themselves, who are the specialists in diabetes.
How can one improve awareness or provide support for diabetes individuals living with the disease? How do we do that?
Yeah, I think firstly it's probably important to sensitize people in the workplace to perhaps also pick up signs of someone who might be predisposed or going through a bout, but also to give them support and understanding that they have lots of other things to think about as well while they're actually busy with their daily task. And this blue balloon challenge that has come to the fore, maybe we can speak about in the workplace.
Yeah,
because that's one of the ways in which individuals can be supported. The blue balloon challenge is where you are expected to blow up a balloon, and while busy with your daily occupational activity, keep it in the air at all times. Fundamentally, what it's illustrating is that someone who is diabetic is constantly concerned about their glucose and their glucose control, And there's always something in addition that they're taking care of, in addition to the multitasking that you might be used to.
All right. Now, let's talk to somebody who's living with somebody with diabetes and explain to them how can they really support that person, that loved one who has the diabetes.
I mean, getting a diagnosis of diabetes, people get really concerned. But you lead a normal life, and you get lots of education, and you learn to live with your diabetes instead of having your life revolve around diabetes. And that's really important.
It's not a death sentence, is it?
Diabetes? No.
Not at all, because some people think it is.
Yes, and of course it's how you look after yourself as well, you know.
100%.
Yeah. I think that's a very good point. There is a big stigma related to diabetes.
Yes.
And it's classified as a disease still by the World Health Organization, but it's actually a condition.
I like that.
A condition.
It's a better word, isn't it?
Much better.
Yeah, much better
much,
word.
Much, much better. And the truth of the matter is, there are type 1 diabetics that live a very fruitful and healthy life and to the age of 74, 75, 80s.
Sure.
And it's fair to say, actually, that when you are sensitized to look after your health, you probably look after your health more than those who are not aware of their circumstance.
All right, we've got a little diabetes quiz, but just before that, am I doing okay drinking red wine at night? Say yes.
Yes.
I think you both have a little tipple every now and then, right?
Yeah, I prefer a nice cold one.
I like my red wine too, but... We used to say a glass is good for you, but I'm sorry, Dave, it's not. It's still bad for you.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
You know, when my doctor said you can have one a night, I thought he meant a bottle. You know, there's the issue. But anyway, let's do this quiz very quickly, if we may. It's true or false, all right, for these common diabetes myths. Eating too much sugar gives you diabetes.
It's false.
Okay. All right. You could live a long, healthy life with diabetes.
True.
Yeah, we just talked about that. If you have type 2 diabetes, it's your own fault for eating the wrong food and not exercising enough.
Yeah. No, it's more complex than that. You can't just say that. That's false.
Okay. Men with diabetes will suffer from impotence.
Well, not. It's the same much as every man as they get older, really.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's not fine. More so than most of us. Yeah.
Having diabetes means... means you will go blind.
No.
I would have got that one right. If you have diabetes, it's important to eat healthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Diabetes is easier if you talk about it with family and friends.
Very much so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's nothing to be ashamed of, is it? Sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, familial support is an extremely important thing. And it shouldn't be a taboo topic. What is important, however, is not to constantly be checking on the individual in terms of their controlling their measures as such. So let them be.
All right.
Keep an eye from a distance, but don't be on their case.
People with diabetes are more likely to struggle with anxiety and depression. I got this one right as well.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true, isn't it?
But then so is the whole world at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think the anxiety comes in when they lose control over their glucose during periods of stress, whether it be work or examinations, etc. So it's really important to try and keep the environment in which the diabetic works and functions every day as stress-free as possible.
All right, people with diabetes finally can never eat sweet things.
Well, everything in moderation, like your red wine.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to work on that.
Yeah.
All right, can you work, play, eat, walk, do all the things you normally do while keeping a blue balloon in the air? Let's talk about this blue balloon challenge just quickly once again before we wrap things up.
Well, maybe you should try it.
Yeah, I'm up for that. You haven't brought a balloon with you, have you?
Yeah,
we have.
We have.
In your resource pack.
Okay.
It's available for you for tomorrow.
Okay.
And while you're busy on air.
All right.
I'm sure you'll be able to do it. It will be a challenge, of course.
Can I watch you through the window, Dave?
No. Yeah. I'm going to pull the blinds down tomorrow.
And I would suggest maybe you can have a video taken, which you can post.
Okay. Super. And now tomorrow, hashtag wear blue for diabetes. Is that the deal?
Yes.
Wear something blue.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Whether it's your shirt or a ribbon, we all have a ribbon today.
Yeah.
Can
ribbon.
Be any colour.
I refuse to put a Manchester City shirt on. I'm just not doing that. I'm sorry. You know, there is a limit to this. Okay. Gentlemen.
Well, I wouldn't mind wearing a Blue Bull shirt myself tomorrow.
Oh, right. They're pretty good, aren't they?
I am supporter of the Bulls, but I don't have one handy, unfortunately.
All right, listen, it's been very interesting and eye-opening for me, having you two experts here with us. Is there anything you'd like to just, you know, say finally to wrap things up?
Yeah, I mean, diabetes, you lead a normal life, and you just have to look after yourself.
All right. Yeah. And not a death sentence at all.
Absolutely.
No, and support and understanding.
Okay, super. Yeah. I'm going to have a look at that little pack that you've left in the office there. All right.
Thank you.
With a balloon story. We'll check it out. Gentlemen, thank you for being here today. It's been really interesting and informative having you here on 88 FM.
Thanks for having us,
Thank
Dave.
You so much.
Thank you, Dave.